the Bofala podcast. Hi everyone, it's Monique Gordion, and the great news is you found the podcast, a space for stories that will arouse a smile and inspire us as we tap into our collective experiences. Enjoy. Welcome everybody to the Bofala podcast. I know it's been a long time. I've been on holidays, traveling the world, and just having some chill time. So I apologize for not posting anything for quite a while. I hope you'll forgive me, but I think you'll be thrilled to bits with who I've got on today, Leonie. Leonie, I don't know your surname. Do you want to say your surname?
Leonie Galbraith.
So just to give you a bit of background, I met Leonie just last week walking the dog in my street. We've got two little dogs, and we just got chatting, and lo and behold, Leonie was much more than she appeared. She's quite an amazing person. So I'm going to throw over to you, Leonie. I've got the
jet lag in your mouth.
Jet lag in my mouth. Yes. Now, one of the things that Leonie told me that sparked this desire to have her on the podcast was she happened to mention, so how old are you now, Leonie?
81 in April.
And both Leonie and I believe that age is but a number. Would you say that?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yes. And I've always done when I'm too old. That's when I start. Most of the time.
And that is so wonderful. Yeah. And
everybody tells me you're too old. And I say, yeah, I've got news for you, sweetheart. I'm not.
I love that. So Leonie told me that she took up deep sea diving at, I think, age 79. Was that right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So what made you...
I started and got my open water certificate in 2019.
Okay.
Then I sat my advanced open water ticket in 2021. Then I did my 100th dive naked in 28 degrees water.
Beautiful.
I was going to do it opposite Port Douglas, but the ship's captain said, if you go in here, Leonie, you're going to have to sign a waiver of the stingers and that we're not liable. So I said, well, I better not go in, because everybody else was clad. So when we got down the lower reefs opposite Cairns, he said, Leonie, you can go in today because we're closer to a hospital. So I said, okay. So in I went and did my 100th dive naked.
So you you're pretty good with risk then, obviously. Yeah. A lot of people wouldn't take that risk.
Mm, yes.
Because stingers, you know, a lot of people are very scared of them. Mm.
Well, and of course, and they're not that much on the reefs. They're more in the more water that's coming in and coming out, you know.
Is that right? Yeah.
And we were closer to Cairns, and I thought, oh, well, if I get stung, let's go on a helicopter over to Cairns. Because I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Because mostly the men do it naked, and I thought, no, I can do that naked.
Yeah.
And the water was 28 degrees.
Wow.
So it was good. And I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Good to look back on.
Yeah.
But that's what old age is about, all your memories.
Yeah. So what are some of your memories? Are there any that kind of spring to mind?
Well, I came to the Gold Coast when I was 21 and skied for Keith Williams in the original ski show out at Carrara.
Oh, really?
It was a dirt road from Narang to Carrara in those days.
So were you single?
Single.
Yeah.
And climbed the pyramids and did the aqua ballerina and all that. Then went back to Sydney.
So what do you mean by climb the pyramids? Is that separate to skiing?
In the show.
Oh, yes.
It was ski showing. You know, you build the pyramid.
Oh,
and there's the pyramid,
yes,
and then there's somebody on the top. Well, I was only small, so I was on the top.
Oh.
And the top side is when you go out on the skier's shoulder, just two of you, and you stand up and you do all acrobatic things on their shoulders.
And so you weren't scared. How old were you then when you did
21
that? So it didn't scare you? Did you grow up skiing with your family?
I started skiing a year earlier, and I'd rang Keith Williams up and said, I've been skiing for 12 months, could I come up and see if I could ski in the show? He said, you haven't been skiing long enough. I said, I've got news for you. So a friend of mine brought me up. Well, I actually caught a bus up and I didn't have any money, and I had some numbers of people I could ring to sleep with. Went out and I said to Keith, I'm just passing through on my way to Cairns. I did send you a letter, but I thought I'd just come in on my way through, which I wasn't. I'd come there just to see Keith.
Yeah,
but I went down and skied, came back. He said, you've got a job. When can you start? So I had to go back to Sydney, wherever I was, and give notice.
Yeah.
Then I skied for Keith out there. Then I went back to Sydney, had babies, got married, then came back to the coast some years later, and SeaWorld had opened.
Yeah.
And Keith knew I was back on the coast and rang me up and he said, could you come and see at SeaWorld?
Oh.
We're opening it. So I was in the first shows they opened. I said, well, I've got two children.
Yeah.
He said, just come and do the both shows, the 10 o'clock and the 2 o'clock, and keep the children in childcare and we'll all be looked after. So then I went out and started skiing in SeaWorld when that started.
So in those days, being 21 or 20...
21, and then I went and had children and came back.
So
then I was
25
when I came to SeaWorld.
So it really wasn't common for women to work then, or it was?
Well, it was. I
think, it was.
You didn't get much money, but I mean, I got good money.
Yeah.
But when I was on the river, and it was £12 a week. That was good money because I did the topside and the aqua ballerina.
Aqua ballerina?
Where the girl just goes out and does ballet on the one ski.
Really?
So I was the aqua ballerina.
Sort of like
the
leg up. And
the leg up and holding the rope, you know, on your feet and doing all this ski on one leg with your rope.
Leonie's just sort of putting her leg up in the air and throwing her arms around because she can't see what's coming.
Thank God for that.
So that's pretty exciting. So... You must have been reasonably athletic.
Well, I stopped skiing when I was 30.
Yeah.
In the show.
Mm.
And then I took up riding at 30.
So riding?
Horse riding.
Yeah.
I went to Pony Club. I thought that's what... Well, my five-year-old daughter, I started with her. She was five.
Mm-hmm.
And I took her to riding lessons. I thought, I always wanted to do this.
Mm.
So I booked in to have lessons while she was having lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought, I'm not learning this quick enough, I've got to buy a horse.
Oh.
So I bought a horse and then I got a bit addicted to it. Then I bought a better horse and then I bought a two-year-old horse that I called Pandem. And I ended up being taught dressage by some people and showing me the world of dressage.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I like this. So I fast forward this, I ended up riding for 20 years. In that time, I started at 30.
Can I just ask you, dressage is what they do at the Olympics, isn't it?
They do a lot, but they do the make the horses do ballet while you sit on them and you don't.
Oh,
move.
Okay. So it's not jumping
no,
over.
No, that's 3-day venting or.
Oh, okay.
Or
so
show
it's
jump.
Getting
dressage.
Them to lift their legs
dancing.
And turning around.
Yeah.
And, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a horse person.
No. Well, I'd started that when I was 30.
Mm.
I went to Pony Club and he said, you're too old for Pony Club. And I thought, well, now where do I go? So then I discovered. So let's fast forward this. Then I ended up on the squad for Queensland, represented Queensland down in Armidale and a few other places. And then because I was on the squad for Queensland, we had our trainers come over from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of each year, I'd leave because I opened an equestrian centre then, Pegasus Park School of Riding.
Oh, really?
And I left that with my grooms to run while I had my annual holidays, but I rode in Europe, and then it was a tax deduction.
Were you still married at this point?
Yeah, I married in between it all, so
okay.
They got lost in the dust a bit. One died and one survived. So
I was wondering what these men are doing while you're gallivanting around the world.
Well, no, I was single, but... recycled first husband by then. But we're still great mates. For him a lot.
Oh, good. So can you tell me a little bit about riding in the European competition?
Well, I didn't compete in Europe.
Oh, okay.
I rode with the guys, Jenny Laurison Clark, who's a gold medalist. I rode Dutch Gold,
mm-hmm.
which was the protege of Dutch Courage, was her Grand Prix horse. It was a Grand Prix horse.
Mm-hmm.
So I had lessons on that. I had lessons with Christopher Bartle, who's another top rider.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to the German equestrian centre where they train the Olympians with another trainer that I can't remember their names now because you're winding me back too many years. and I did that. Then I rode in Vienna and I rode one of the Lipizzaners from the Spanish Riding School.
Oh,
so
yes, that's very
that was
famous.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did you actually do it in that stadium where they...
Yes.
Wow.
No, I didn't. No, I sat in that stadium. No, it wasn't. I've just got to remember that. No. I rode that in another arena there. Well, actually, I had to go and bring the horse up from down the road And I wasn't used to riding in snow, and I thought, God, I wonder if they slip in snow. Because they'd given me the bridle and said, go and bring it up. And then I rode in an indoor school, so everybody came and they sat around a thing to watch this girl from Australia. That I think they thought we'd just chase kangaroos on horses. And then I ended up with an entourage watching because they were a bit impressed that from Australia you could ride.
That's amazing.
So that was all interesting. And I said, well, I'm going to ride for 20 years and I'm going to buy a boat. And I made that up that time. And people said, no, Leonie, you'll take your riding further. I said, no, I'm going to buy a boat.
So you were, you rode until you were 30? No, 30.
I started at 30. 30 and I was going to ride for 20 years, but I ended up only riding for 19 because I was offered a lot of money for one of the horses to go to Japan because to train on further. And then I bought my boat and I lived on that for 10 years. It was a 54-foot timber-built boat, 230 horsepower Ford Lee engines, 500 gallons of fuel.
So that's like a cruising boat as opposed to a yacht.
It was a motorboat.
Yeah, motorboat.
And when I sold it, the fellow that did the survey for the owners that I had it for 10 years, they said, this is not a boat, it's a ship.
And so how long was it, did you say?
54 foot.
that's pretty big.
And I did coastal navigation at TAFE.
Oh, right.
So I took it up and down the coast. Out the Bunkers was my first trip on it.
What's the Bunkers?
Oh, the group of islands. You go up the Sandy Straits and out from Yarangan. Okay. And Lady Musgrave and those are out there.
For people who aren't from Australia, so we're in Queensland and we're heading north up the east coast.
Up the east coast.
And there's islands on the way up.
Yeah. So I did that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Up and down. But I always took a guy to sea with me because you don't go to sea by yourself. So no. I would go from one yacht club to another, and then when I'd get there, I'd bring somebody up and they'd come the next leg.
Oh.
And come the next leg.
That's great.
So free spirit.
What a life. That's a
free spirit, love.
Yeah, very much a free spirit. I mean, that must have been, you must have met some really interesting people.
I've had some fun. It's all been fun, love. You don't do it unless it's for fun. You know, I'm 81 in April, so.
Yeah.
But I've got that many memories.
Yeah.
That it's good when I can't move about.
And you, I mean, you've just taken up golf, right?
Yes.
So,
but I've just finished the scuba diving.
Yeah, yeah.
And I climbed it wasn't actually Machu Picchu, but I went with Intrepid when I was 71 and climbed their trail.
Okay.
It was up 8,000 something or other metres, and which slipped in the tents. This is on the way to Machu Picchu and went to the Galapagos Islands. And
all right, with Intrepid?
With Intrepid.
So Intrepid...
And I was oldest person that ever climbed their trail.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Intrepid is a travel company.
Yes.
I've actually travelled with Intrepid.
Well, let me just say about them. When I said to people I want to do the Inca Trail and I told them my age, they wouldn't take me.
Ah.
But Intrepid did.
Oh, good on them. That's great
and
to know.
I was the oldest... They gave me a certificate, the oldest person ever to climb our trail. And I was it was nearly 5,000 metres up, and we slept 4 nights on the, and did 100 kilometres, and then went to Machu Picchu, and I wasn't out of breath, you know, I wasn't the last on the trail.
You know, and how long ago was that, would you say, the Machu Picchu?
I was 71.
Yeah, now you would have had really great experience, because now Machu Picchu, that whole area is just flooded with tourists.
Yeah.
It's very, you know... Whereas in 71...
Yeah, it wasn't as many.
No, that was kind of... That was Intrepid.
Yes.
In the sense of you were being Intrepid because not many people were, you know, that kind of... They weren't doing that sort of travel. Obviously, there were people who did
But I'd wanted to do that for years. You know, it was all... I don't know why I wanted to do it, but it was always in the bucket list. I've got to do that.
I've never done it.
Yeah. It's just...
I'm put off because there's too many tourists there. I've got to be honest.
Unfortunately, that's... But it was certainly worth saying.
So for you, where does your inspiration come from? Is it movies or the internet? Or, like, how do you hear about these... How did you hear about Machu Picchu when you were in
I don't know.
In 1970s?
I don't know.
It's not...
Well, I suppose I'm all... In the back of me, I'm always looking for the next adventure, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, you know, growing up, my mother said, because I can draw and I paint.
Oh, yes.
I do watercolours and pastels.
Mm.
Well, I do them, but I just did that turtle.
Oh, I'll take a photo of that and put it on the podcast.
I've got plenty in there. I haven't done that many because I can do it. And my mother said, why don't you paint? But I was too busy chasing kangaroos and racing cars around Bathurst to be painting.
Okay. What is this? Tell me about the racing cars around Bathurst.
We used to go to Bathurst every year and we used to, in our own private cars, race them around the track at night and sleep in
there. Are you allowed to do that?
No, of course not. you don't do things you're allowed to do. I got expelled from school. Yeah, of course. I never wanted to go there when I was five. It took me to be 14 to get expelled.
Were you misbehaving?
Yeah, next question.
So this is great. I think to be an adventurous person, it's not that you have to break rules necessarily, but you have to break norms. Yeah. Like what is normal? Mm. Would you agree with that?
Yes. You've got to live on the edge, otherwise you're taking up too much room.
Live on the edge, otherwise you're taking too much room.
Wasting oxygen.
Oh, that's interesting. So when you left school at 14, what did you do?
My mother took me to business college where I learnt shorthand and typing, mm-hmm. which is what you did in those days. There was no, you did that or you worked in a factory.
Mm.
And I did that. For some years, and then I ended up as a company rep selling furniture and things, travelling around in a car, and then I became a water skier, then a horse rider.
Yeah, so I can see why being a sales rep and travelling around in a car would appeal to you.
It
because
did.
You're going from town to town meeting new people every day.
And I got on, I was a very introverted child. I had a father from hell.
Oh.
I couldn't look at people in the face and talk to them. Yeah. I had to have clinics. I had to go to and sit knee to knee with people and look at them in their face and learn how to talk to people.
That's interesting.
And
so, would you say it was a bit traumatic, your childhood?
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
And how?
And he's dead now, but I still hate him. So you know, and people say you shouldn't. That's not healthy. But I hate him.
Yeah.
It's just the opposite to love. You either love somebody, and I hate him.
Yeah.
As dead as he can be. I found my own life. I found a lady. Took me under her wing when I was working in one of the offices. That was before I was doing company rep.
Mm-hmm.
And she took me under her wing and talked to me about life and travelling. And she's the godmother of my first child now, Colleen Johnson. And she used to mentor me. Well, she healed my head.
Beautiful.
So after I left Sydney where they all lived. Well, I'd left home. When I got my first job, I left home anyhow. I was gone.
Yeah. What about your mum? Were you close to your mum?
Yes. Mm. She wasn't allowed to pay much attention to me because then he would react. So
he was kind of a bit jealous?
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was born just after they got me, and he was just jealous of me.
He wanted all the attention and I didn't like that.
Yeah. And so I got... I won't go into what I got.
No. That's tough.
So... Then when I came up here, then I started skiing in Sydney. Then I came up here and I started to grow. Here's life. It was like a flower opened.
Beautiful.
And I thought, instead of being this bud closed in.
Yeah.
And I used to just hit people, you know.
When you were...
At school and all that place.
Because you were suppressed anger, right?
Yeah,
I can understand.
I hit the teacher overhead with a pencil case.
Oh, did you?
Because the worst in the class had to sit with the best in the class. Well, I was the worst in the class. And the best in the class, his mother said, I don't want her sitting with that girl. That was me. And he said, I don't blame your mother. So I clonked him with the pencil case. And then the school prefect had to chase me down the corridor. When I got to my bike, I said, you touch me, you're next. No, Leonie, we'll help you get your bike. So I got my bike and ride home.
And it wasn't long after that you got expelled, I guess.
Well, I did get expelled. Then.
Oh, I see.
And then Mum sent me to business college. Then I came up here and then skied for Keith on and off.
Mm.
And then I took my youngest child riding.
Mm.
She was five and I was 30.
Yeah.
30.
Mm.
And then I did that for 19 years.
Mm.
Then I bought the boat.
Yeah. So do you think being on the open sea with the boat...
Was the best 10 years of my life.
Yeah, because...
Freedom.
Freedom. So what does freedom mean to you? Like as
no rules.
No rules. And you're still living that way, really?
I do, as much as you can
as
in this society now.
Yeah.
I don't like rules, never have.
No.
No. They choke you, you know, it's just not this black duck. And then it was funny because I sold the boat in March, mm-hmm. and then I got cancer.
Oh.
A couple of years later, aggressive cancer.
So what does that mean? That's what does aggressive cancer mean?
Well, breast cancer, but it was 3 out of 4 on two of the readings.
Oh, okay.
And it had gone through my lymph nodes.
Oh, and had it gone throughout your body?
Well, no, it hadn't because I had radiation and chemo for 12 months. Mm,
that's
devastating. And see, I couldn't have done all that treatment on the boat anyhow. So no. I'd sold the boat on my way back from North 1 year.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
I've come back from up there, and I'm at Inskip Point, and there's a security warning, and I have to get back to Mooloolaba. Mooloolaba's 8 hours down from there, about 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, this security, I'm sitting behind Inskip Point, and I'm with a guy, because I've always took somebody with me.
Yeah.
And I got, and the weather was coming from the south, and I thought, bugger it, I'm sick of sitting here. It's dying up. I've only got there's a lot of leads coming in. I've only got to cop it on my side till I get out there.
Yeah.
Then I can nose into it until I get to Mooloolaba.
Uh-huh.
So I did all that, copped it on the side. Because it was, even though it only drew a metre, but I had 500 gallons of fuel and 500 gallons of water. So that was all ballast because it was all in 7 fuel tanks and 5 water tanks.
Okay, so that means the boat was very heavy.
Heavy on the hull.
On the hull. So which gives you some stability?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got through that leads, all right. Nosed into the, and I thought the waves can just go over the top, doesn't matter. But when I got to Mooloolaba Yacht Club,
yeah,
the surfboard riders are riding the waves into the yacht club. I thought, fuck, how am I going to get in there?
Oh.
And I can't turn around now,
yeah,
and go back. And I thought, right, I just have to watch the waves and just do it. So,
you surfed it,
watching the waves. And I thought, next set here, I'm going to hug that bloody wall, that east wall, and gun it through. So we got in.
Oh my God.
Then people came down to see this lunatic that brought the boat down the security warning. And then people came and were impressed with the boat.
Did you say
security means danger? You know, security. You listen to what they're saying.
Oh, okay.
You know, they'll come over because I've got a radio operator's license.
Oh, okay.
And they come over and because I did the Seaway Tower radio. Oh. For Seaway Tower for a while.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you worked in this tower.
Because I've got my radio operator's license.
Right.
So security is the thing that comes over and tells you you know, whether it's something in the water somewhere or a cyclone coming.
Yeah, it's kind of like a warning system or something, yeah.
So then the people came to see this boat and then I ended up selling it there.
Oh.
But it was sad, but I mean, I'd entered it in 2 sail pass, which is, that's where they have the blessing of the fleet,
uh-huh.
and you dress your boats up,
mm-hmm.
and I'll show you some pictures of how I dressed the boat up.
Do.
So I won 2 sail pass, no woman's ever done that before.
Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo. And won a boat show with it up in Townsville.
Oh, right.
So I'd done what I wanted to do, and boats are expensive. As soon as you put marine in front of something,
it
costs you money.
Yeah. So when you got back, you had like a mammogram or something and found out you had
breast cancer. I'd had a mammogram up in Cairns and they said I was all right, but I found the lump myself.
Oh.
So much for your mammograms.
Mm.
And then it was aggressive. But that's 18 years ago now.
Yeah,
so when I got out and I wasn't well, I went to senior citizens. I said, what do I do now? So I went to senior citizens. I learnt mahjong, which I love.
Oh, right.
And I play cards
and
indoor bowls. Okay. But then when I took up diving, I didn't do any of that because I'd rather dive.
Yes, that's right.
So
that's more your free spirit
individuality. As I said, I've just took up, when I bought a two-wheeler bike, fell off that, so now I've got a three-wheeler bike. And so I've just taken up golf a couple of months ago.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well.
So 18 years ago, that's a great survivor story.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, and my doctor, well, my daughter had to go to my doctor, Dr. Deviana, for something some years ago, like 2 years ago. It was up 16 years since my surgery. And I'm sitting in the waiting room with my daughter, and he walks from seeing one patient to the next. Oh, well, hello, Leonie, how are you? And off he goes. So when we go in, I said, how come you remember me from 16 years ago?
Yeah.
He said, some patients you just don't forget.
I don't think I'll ever forget you, Leonie, I've got to say.
So I had to laugh.
Yeah, so, you know, you must be, you know, they say one of the biggest regrets on your deathbed is that you haven't lived the life you've wanted to live. But you really have done exactly what you wanted.
Yeah. I would have liked to have had a successful marriage.
Yes.
But I blame my father for that.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing
yeah.
that I wished I had had.
Yeah.
A successful marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, my two daughters have produced children.
Mm.
And they've produced children. So now I've got six great-grandchildren.
Wow.
Four grandchildren. And a very loving and very close family.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And my ex-husband, number one, the one that survived, he's just had a 7.5-hour lung operation.
Oh.
So the kids have been up looking after him. I've been up looking after him and I've had him back here.
So he's in Queensland?
He's up in Magnetic Island.
Oh, that's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is. Spent a lot of time up there in the boat. Yes. So, you know, we're still... I say to people... Peter and I are divorced, but not from each other.
No, that's beautiful.
We're just divorced through marriage, but we're still great friends.
Yeah. So, Leonie, you said you've had you've died and had an out-of-body experience.
Yes, I was having cesarean birth, which I had with both of my children. This was with my first child, my second child, I'm sorry, my youngest daughter. And I had pneumonia when they had to give me the anaesthetic.
Uh-huh.
And when they cut me, I could feel the hot knife across my stomach, but I couldn't, I could feel it and I could think, but I couldn't move to say, and I couldn't talk. Then I felt the second hot knife cut, and then I felt it must have been more anaesthetic coming. And then I'm gone. And I'm up there looking down.
Uh-huh.
And my husband had been playing around as men do, as he did, the whole married life. That's why that marriage didn't work.
Mm.
So I hadn't wanted this baby to be that. I hadn't thought of its name, and it was a difficult time with him.
Mm.
So I've gone up and I'm looking back down on a star that I'm believing is where I live, and I'm thinking, what a pain in the ass all that is, all that stress and all that stuff, and it is just nothing. It is just nothing. Then I see things that are going to happen down here. Flood, fire, famine. And it's burnt out. And there's few people left. Then I'm told, not in a voice that's male or female, it's like you talk to yourself, you've got to go back. I say, I don't want to go back. You have to go back. On the way back down, Jodie Lee, 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 and I wake. My mother comes to see me because I was in a bit of surgical shock 3 days later. When you're feeling better, darling, we've thought of a name for the baby. I said, I've got a name. Oh, have you done? What are you going to call her? I said, I'm going to call her Jodie. My mother looked at her sister, or my husband, I forget who was there now because I was a bit non-compos.
Yeah.
You can't believe this. She said, that's the name we've come up with.
Oh, my.
She said, in fact, we've got a name that goes with it. I said, I have. She's Jodie Lee. My mother opened her bag, and there on a piece of paper was Jodie Lee.
My goodness me. My goodness me.
Mm.
Oh.
So I know I'm going to heaven.
Oh. Now, one more thing. You were telling a bit of a risque story. Do you want to share this one about the...
Which one?
About the...
Costume swimming?
Yeah, about...
That's not as bad as the other one.
Oh, which... whichever. You can tell both if you want. No. Oh, no, just tell the one about the...
Well, at the yacht club, we used to go to the club. I used to go on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night because it was the members' night.
Yeah.
And we'd drink all night. I was a good drinker in those days. I've since that had hypnotism and I haven't had a glass of red or white wine for lots of years.
Oh, but so you still, don't drink at all?
I do. I drink champagne and scotch. I haven't been hypnotised against them, so I've worked it out.
That's great. Hypnotise me, but not about champagne or scotch.
I don't drink them to excess, so that's good.
No, brilliant.
Anyhow, and after the drinking in the club, then we'd go around to everybody's boat because there's a lot of liverboards and we'd all drink.
Yeah.
And 2 o'clock in the morning, I get to go on my dinghy out to my boat that's moored out. How I never drown over the years, getting out in the currents and getting off the dinghy onto my boat. But as I said, God's with me, I think.
Yes.
Anyhow, I come out of the club to go back and get the dinghy, and I thought, oh, I need to go for a swim. So I walk across from the yacht club, across the bitumen road to the beach at Main Beach. And take my clothes off, put my bag there, and I go for a swim. Not in deep water, but I'm just having a nice swim.
Mm.
So I come back up to go back to the boat and can't find my clothes. And I've got none on. And I can't find them. I've searched the beach and I thought, where are they? Because I'm pissed anyhow. I don't know where the clothes are. So I've got to walk across the road, walk through the yacht club car park with all got cameras, get down to my dinghy with my bare ass, start it and get out to my boat. And I thought, that's going to be news in the yacht club tomorrow, Leonie going through the car park naked. They're a bit used to me in the yacht club, I might add. So when I get back in the boat, I think, Christ, what am I going to do now? I can't go to sleep because all my bloody clothes are on the beach. And if somebody finds them in the morning, they'll think I've drowned. So I have to wait for daylight. Get back in the dinghy, go and find my bag. There's my bag, there's my clothes, there's my shoes.
So did anyone say anything about the footage?
No, nobody saw it.
That's fantastic.
I won't tell you the other one, it's a bit rude.
No, we won't go there. So how's your golf? Is your swing good?
No.
What, are you good at putting?
Oh, look, I started this with my daughter down in Tweed, and she said, come and have a game of golf, and I've never done golf in my life.
Mm.
And when we got round the thing and I borrowed her bat, I was going to say, her clubs were there.
Yeah.
She said, Mum, you're good at this, you should be doing it. So
there you go.
Now I'm having lessons at it.
Yeah, and that would be really good for your back.
And
right?
It's complicated. You know, I just thought it's not. Oh. But, you know, you go on YouTube and try and everybody's got, oh, it's that technical. That technical, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
But I've got these hands which I'm finding hard to deal with all this. I mean, I've got osteoarthritis, I've got a heart that's got 4 pills a day, but you don't stop.
Yeah.
You still do it.
You don't stop.
You don't stop.
You still do it.
Yeah. And your back hurts and your hands hurt and everything hurts, but you don't stop.
Oh my God.
You stop, you just jam up. But I would still like to have a partner, but men my age are too old.
You need to get a toy boy.
But the toy boys want a rich girl and I can't afford one. I'd have to go and get a job. And I don't want to work. I don't want a job.
No, it sounds like you're having too much fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's a chap in my block of units. He's retired. I don't know what his age is, but I'd say he's in his 70s. And I see him riding his bike, kayaking. He's now got a houseboat. Like,
perfect.
He swims.
Perfect.
Because we have a pool, and I think, you know, he's living his best life.
Yes.
Well, I don't know him personally. I haven't really had a conversation, but
sounds
he's
like my sort of a man. Has he got a wife?
I don't know. I'll find out. He looks like he's on holidays.
Yeah.
But that's his life.
But that's what life is.
Yeah.
I love this complex that I live in.
Yeah.
Because it's like a holiday.
Yeah. In fact, we have a mutual friend.
Yes, we do.
Candace.
Who lives here too.
Yes, who lives here. Cleo, the dog. Yeah. Hello, Candace. Hello, Cleo. Well, anyway, what did you say? Don't stop, otherwise you... I can't remember what you said. Don't stop.
Well, you know, I'd rather wear out than rust out.
Yeah, so let's finish on that because I think that is very inspiring. And I remember I met you that day and I've kind of walked away thinking... Oh, I feel very lazy compared to Leonie.
I only do it to stay fit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've always had a job where you use your body, you know, horse riding, water skiing,
true.
Boats, you know. Yeah. I'm not used to just sitting.
Yeah, that's right. So it's kind of a part of who you are.
And I don't have to exercise. No. I like to exercise.
And that's the thing, you know, you do what you like. It's not what you have to.
No, I don't do anything I have to. If you said to me I have to or you can't, I do exactly the
opposite.
And
that's the freedom thing with you, right, is you do things because you want to do it, not because you're told by your doctor to walk or this or that.
That would just shut a door to me.
And I think that's a problem these days, is we do things because we're told to do them, not this black duck. Well, Leonie, thank you so much for coming on. Leonie, before we went on, Leonie goes, what do I say? I'll tell you now what I'm going to... I said, no, don't tell me. But I will tell you. I say, no, don't tell me.
So funny. She goes, well, I don't know what to do. And was it pleasant enough experience? It worked okay?
Yeah, it worked all right.
That's another new thing, right, for you to put in your little book.
I have to learn about podcasts.
And when it's up, I will send it to you. Anyway, this is...
How do you look? Oh, you're
I'll tell you in a sec. Yeah. Anyway, look, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in again to the podcast. I'm really sorry again for the big break, and I'm hoping to get back on to having more and more guests. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Leonie, for sharing. And until next time, dear listeners, go well, live in joy. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.